Tomorrow's World Commentary, May 3rd, 2023. Communion by Grace Alone, by Wyatt Cecilka. Read by William Williams. Article begins. What is communion? The Apostle Paul explains in Scripture that the Passover is the communion of the blood of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. That light has no communion with darkness, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, and that the saints have communion with God and Christ through the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Some use the term communion to describe a relationship to God that Christians generally enjoy because of the grace of Christ. Others use the term when describing organizational Christian fellowship within the body of a unified church group. Communion between Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox, and others has long been sought by the Roman Catholic Church. This type of communion is what past popes have striven for, and what Pope Francis currently works toward. This type of communion is what clergy such as the late Anglican Bishop Tony Palmer and Pentecostal minister Kenneth Copeland announced in the spring of 2014, and which Tony Palmer explained in the 1999 agreement between the Roman Catholic Church and Protestant Reformation Church is intended to achieve, stating that, quote, by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, end quote. From the online article Francis, Ecumenism, and the Common Witness to Christ, The Catholic World Report, published September 5, 2014. Addressing his Pentecostal audience, Palmer rightly explained that the implications of the words by grace alone were, for centuries, one of the big causes for division between Catholics and Protestants. This disagreement was a fundamental cause of Martin Luther's break from Roman Catholicism. Agreement on grace alone is hoped to bring communion once again. And while an eventual organizational communion is a monumental prophesied event, see the Tomorrow's World study guide, The Beast of Revelation, Myth, Metaphor, or Soon Coming Reality, the fundamental question remains, does one achieve communion with God by grace alone? To better understand grace and the part that grace plays in building a relationship with God, it is helpful to note that God provides his grace both before and after conversion. As the late evangelist John O'Gwynn once wrote regarding God's grace to people before repentance and conversion, quote, first we require God's grace given through God the Father's gift of his only begotten Son, who died in our stead and paid sin's penalty on our behalf, according to John chapter 3, verse 16, and Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Second, we must respond to God's grace with faith and repentance, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and Acts chapter 3, verse 19. End quote. From the Living Church News reprint article, Understanding the Night to Be Much Observed, March-April 2013 issue. True Christians, then, as recipients of God's grace and with Christ living in them, strive to uphold and keep God's law, Romans chapter 3, verse 31. No one will do this perfectly, but faithfulness and obedience to God's law is not a matter of personal works and is not a matter of earning salvation in some way. It is instead the result of Christ living in his followers, Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and of his faith working through them, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Other than Jesus Christ, no one keeps God's law perfectly. See Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and chapter 7, verse 15. Thus God continues to show his grace. So, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 explains, it is because of God's grace that Christians are being saved through faith. See also the Tomorrow's World Commentary of Grace and Obedience for a further explanation. Those who truly are Christians have been saved from past sins by the blood of Christ and are now being saved, Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, and shall be saved by his life, Romans chapter 5, verse 10, by his living in them, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Christians do not continue in sin because they are recipients of God's grace, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Instead, by faith and by Jesus Christ's faith and him living in them, Christians obey and uphold the law, Romans chapter 3, verse 31, New International Version. God's true church has long taught accurately about grace, faith, obedience, the law, and about the coming communion between the Roman Catholic Church and her Protestant daughters. Major prophecies are indeed being fulfilled right now, but equally importantly, True Christians need to understand and be extremely grateful not only for God's grace, but also for Jesus Christ's faith. His faith working in them, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, by which his disciples are able to practice righteousness and obey God's law, which ultimately leads to God's reward of eternal life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. End of article. Originally published April 19, 2014. Literature offer. To learn more, be sure to order or read online the free study guides, What is a True Christian? And Christian Baptism, Its Real Meaning. Also be sure to check out the booklet, The Plain Truth About the Protestant Reformation.